Turn with me, if you will, to Ecclesiastes. And I want to look at Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9 and 10. Yes, it's there. Okay. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart, put evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Believe it or not, I've actually read articles and seen some outlines that took Ecclesiastes 11 and said that it means that young people are supposed to enjoy themselves and kick up their heels and have a good time. But know that for all these you will bring you into judgment. God will bring you into judgment. They don't mention that part. And I think that's a very important thing. Youth is a special time. And all of us, you know, to one degree or another, can think back on times when we were young, we had a good time, and football games and things like that, you know, we used to go to. And that's all good. But young people, unfortunately, tend to be carefree, but not careless. I shouldn't say they're careless, because they understand that they're going to be brought into judgment someday. A time of special problems, though, is when we are young. We have special problems. We don't have the problems necessarily that older people do or that younger people do. We have a certain set of problems that are ours. I think this is brought out quite obviously in 2 Timothy 2:22. Now, Paul was writing to Timothy, remember? Timothy was a young gospel preacher. And Paul says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What does he mean, youthful lusts? Well, there are lusts that go along with youth. The hormones are raging, and it goes without saying that it's a youth problem, and it needs to be, well, avoided. Flee, he says, by young people who are in the position to experience such a thing. Timothy was also a young preacher who needed to learn how to conduct himself in order to influence people. Paul wrote to him and said in 2 Timothy 3:14, oh, there he is, 3:14, that he was to continue in the things that he had learned and been assured of, knowing from whom he had learned them. Now, going on to verse 12 of chapter 4, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in love, in conduct, in spirit, in faith and purity. Paul knew that there were certain things that were temptations to Timothy, being a young man, and he knew that he needed to concentrate on what was really important in his life to be the kind of a person that would influence people for good. But I think that sometimes too much emphasis is put on youth. I think youth sometimes are exempt from accountability and exempt for correction. Oh, it's a kid. You know, he's just, you know. Well, we shouldn't do that. When young people get into trouble, they're young people, but they get into trouble. And they need to be corrected. They need to be disciplined. Young people, sometimes, in an overemphasis situation, become the focus of a church's work. Youth ministries. They have a youth minister, and he has special services just for young people. And of course, the idea is relating to the young people. That becomes the primary focus of many of the churches around us. But would Paul qualify to preach at such a church? Think about it. Would Paul qualify to preach in such a church? You're a good preacher, Paul, but you're a little old for our demographic. So you go to some congregation with old people in it. We want some young fella to come in here and tell us good things, make us really excited and happy and on fire for the Lord. Paul wouldn't be even considered for that. In fact, you know, in a congregation that focused its attention on young marrieds, Paul wouldn't be qualified to serve. No. He's not even a married man. But what happened to the young people learning from experience and wisdom of the older people? Whatever happened to that? Paul was one who, of course, we saw already, he wrote to Timothy about the things he'd seen and heard in him. And to Titus, again, Paul writes the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Now that, right there, that's God's plan, if you will, for dealing with older women, younger women. The older women are to teach the younger women. But we're kind of in a mess whenever we have an overemphasis on relating to the people that we teach. It becomes an emphasis on the messenger rather than the message. I could bring the same message and some young guy could bring it, and oh, hallelujah, he brings it really well. So he can relate. But it's the same message. The idea being that people begin to home in on the person and reverence the person more than they reverence what they're teaching. Youth, though, is something that is faced by all of us, but some of us die before we get old. Yeah, that's true. I can't tell you how many of my friends, old friends in high school, and even some, well, some in the church since I came out of school, have died at a very young age. And you know what? They are facing the same judgment as those who are older. Did you ever think about that? God doesn't have a bar and says, this is, young people are judged here and the old people are judged over here. You know, we're all standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And at that time, everybody is on an equal plane. But, you know, when you're young, you think, oh, I'm never going to die. But you better be sure that it can happen. can happen with a disease, can happen with an accident. Any number of things can take your life suddenly when you're young. So, with that in mind, we recognize that youth will be judged and that youth need the same things that older people need. For instance, young people need to obey the gospel. It's the same gospel as older people. There we are. Same gospel as older people. They are to hear the gospel, to believe the gospel, repent, confess, and be baptized, and then they are added by the Lord to the church. Notice that in the admonition to hear the gospel, there is no stipulation on age. He does not say, now older people hear the gospel and younger people, you just kind of pick it up as you go along. He says, hear and hear the word of God. Young people need to be taught the word of God because it is upon the basis of the word of God that faith is built in them. And that's the next point. We must believe the gospel. If we hear it, we must believe it. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16 shows the importance of that. The apostles were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, what part of that don't you understand? Is it that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved? That the part you don't understand? Or is it that other part that says, and he who does not believe will be condemned? Which one is it? Well, unfortunately, young people are, along with older people, are given the idea that they can not worry about the things that are going to cause them to be lost, and consequently find them to be focused on an easy way. So they're told, don't worry about the baptism, just believe. Just believe. Because if you don't believe, you'll be condemned. If you do believe, you won't be condemned. See the logic there? Well, it says, he who does not believe will be condemned. Yeah. It doesn't say he who does not believe and does not be baptized will be condemned. So therefore, it's only important that you believe. Now, that's not possible. That's not possible. Because we're told that the belief and the baptism, as we see down here in Acts 2:38, the belief and the baptism go together in the remission of sins. How can we have our sins remitted? How can we be washing away our sins, as Acts 22:16 says, whenever we are just believing and nothing else? But truly the times of this ignorance, God winked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. You're going to have to change your mind about everything. You're going to have to change your mind and focus it on God. Focus it on his word. And then you will indeed want to be baptized. And notice the condition upon which you're added to the church. In Acts 2:41, we're told that as many as gladly received the word were baptized. It doesn't say as many as gladly received the word were saved. Hallelujah, let's go home. It says as many as gladly received the word were baptized. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. That's what youth must obey, and that's what all of us obey. There's no difference. But let me say that I believe very strongly in this. Young people must worship and serve in the church. First of all, they must worship in spirit and in truth. We understand that they have an obligation to worship God the Father in spirit and in truth. They need to understand what that is. Need to understand how to do it. They must also sing. We're told that in Ephesians 5:19 that we are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. We're told that we are to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with grace in our heart unto the Lord. Young people need to learn this too. You know, sometimes older people kind of drop the ball whenever they don't encourage their young people to sing. They kind of figure they'll get it by osmosis and it'll just kind of come along. They need to learn how to sing from the time they're very small. They need to learn how to sing. They aren't going to sing a tune, maybe. Maybe they'll sing off key or something like that. But they need to learn to sing. And to take a songbook when they can read and read the words. I mean, I didn't necessarily read the words. I just held the songbook and sang them from memory when I was 4 years old. But I did learn to sing and to enjoy singing praises to God. But we must teach our children to do that. And young people need to learn how to do those things. They must also learn to pray. We're told that they continue, that is, the disciples continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Young men who have obeyed the gospel need to be used in participating in leading public prayer. I sincerely believe it with all my heart. I have seen young men as young as 11 or 12 who are obedient to the gospel and who stand before the congregation lead a prayer. They are just as responsible to pray to God as us old folks are. And they need the experience. We need to encourage younger men to be active in that regard. Also, they need to participate in the teaching and learning process. Notice, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What did they do steadfastly? They were learning what the apostle taught. The word doctrine simply means teaching. So when they were teaching their doctrine, they were learning it. And this applies to young people too. You need to have a desire to learn. I'm afraid I've known some young people who really never developed the taste for it. They just aren't interested and don't want to participate. But I'm wondering, where along the way have we failed? Have we not instilled within them a desire to search out and find what God has to say for man? Have we fallen short in some way? Or did we do all that we could? I don't know. But I think we need to encourage young people to study and to learn everything they possibly can about God's Word. Another thing, obviously, I'll get over here to my get caught up. They must eat the Lord's Supper as young Christians. We know the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread, and Paul spoke to them and preached until our midnight hour. Young people need to be impressed with what the Lord's Supper is. And by the way, we do a real good job here at the table. I'm going to commend the men who waited on the Lord's table today. They did an excellent job in teaching people what we're doing and why we're doing it. But young people especially need to be impressed with this, and they need to learn to be reverent, to give attention to the Lord's Supper, and to partake of the Lord's Supper in a manner that is pleasing to God, i.e. a worthy manner. It doesn't mean they're sinlessly perfect, because if it did, we couldn't any of us take it. But it's the manner in which it is partaken of that we should consider whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper. Young people can do that too and can learn and grow. They must also give. We all understand the concept of laying by in store on the first day of the week in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. But let me say this. I believe that young people should be taught responsibility as soon as they're able to learn it. That is, whenever they begin to make a little money from doing odd jobs and things around the house or some kind of allowance or something, they need to be taught that a portion of what you make is the Lord's. And they'll be taught about that over and over and over again on the first day of the week. They will learn to set a certain amount aside for the Lord. You say, well, you know, Mom and Dad are giving, and so the kids don't have to give. That's not the point. The point is, that doesn't teach them individual responsibility. They need to learn individual responsibility so that they'll understand the concept whenever they launch out on their own. I was taught from very, very early to lay by in store, and I have always practiced it in the same manner that I did when I started doing it. Why? Because that's what the Lord wants of me. I don't do it because my mom and dad did it. I do it because the Lord wants me to. And that attitude needs to be taught to children. Youth needs to learn that and lay by in store on the first day of the week. And along that same line, they must participate in the work of the church according to their ability. Notice every joint of the body supplies a working part of that body, and as such causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, Ephesians 4:16. That's how we work. Young people need to be taught when it comes to menial tasks, for instance, cleaning up the building. You know, nothing upsets me more than seeing a fella down here at this building pushing a vacuum cleaner, cleaning up the building, when there are able-bodied young people standing around doing nothing. I think most young people are acquainted with what that vacuum cleaner does. They know how it works. And they could take it and they could do the job and make it a lot easier for the older folks. But what happens? Old folks end up doing it. Young people need to be given responsibility, given a job to do. And in doing it, they are learning to do their part, their share in the body for the cause of Christ. Of course, that could apply to any other areas too, but I mean, I specifically think in the area of menial tasks that it is very much important to teach youth. Now, young people need to learn that they must live godly lives. Now you say, well, now, what does that mean? Godly life. They're not going to live a life like the old person lives. No, they're not. They need to learn to behave in accordance with their station in life. A child, when they're under authority, may indeed need a certain type of behavior. We are told fathers have a responsibility to provoke not their children to wrath, but nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. Children are supposed to obey their fathers. All of that's good. But what do they learn from it? Well, they learn as a youth how a young person should conduct themselves. They learn that you don't speak rudely to an adult. They learn that you don't behave in a manner that is unbecoming you. You always respect people, and especially respect those who are much older than you. In Leviticus 19:32, I know this used to apply to other people, by the way, but you'll see what I mean. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. See what I mean? The hoary head. You must respect those people. A young person, of course, who's brought up the way he should be, he respects him. Respects the person. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, likewise, younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Notice now, there is a certain amount of submission of younger to older, but there is also a universal submission. Submission to one another. What's that for? That's so that the body can work the way it's supposed to work. It can't work any other way. It can't work any other way. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father and younger men as brothers. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 1. Some young people need to learn that lesson. Now, I feel sorry for a person who has been brought up so poorly that they act rudely and behave themselves unbecomingly. But that does not excuse them from being disrespectful to someone who is older. Now, that doesn't mean that they cannot correct an older person at all. That doesn't mean that at all. You can exhort an older man as you would your father. You can say, well, Dad, I think you're wrong on that, and I'll show you why. Very respectfully. Just like you can do to a young man. But you don't treat them with anger You don't treat them with disrespect. You treat them with the type of respect you would give your father. And you should give proper respect to him. Of course, these principles apply to citizens. And that's why, you know, young people, we're helping you along here, you know. We're bringing you along so you'll be a citizen and a profitable citizen someday. We're bringing you along so that somebody will want to employ you. We don't want you to go out there and not be able to get work. We want you to get a job. You know, some young people, and I've had young people working for me, so I know this. Some young people seem to think that whenever they're an employee, they can tell the boss what to do. And you know, that doesn't work well with most bosses. I know it didn't work well with me. A young person needs to learn to respect their employer. And I think that scriptures teach on this very plainly. We're talking about on Sunday morning. And I think the principles of servitude and masters and so forth can be transferred into the situation that we find ourselves in today of employer and employee. You say, I'm going to work for you for a certain amount of money, for a certain amount of work, and that's what you do. Now, you don't slack on your job. You don't cut short on your job. You do everything you said you were going to do. It's just like a master-slave relationship. But unfortunately, young people don't always learn the lessons they need to learn to be responsible people. But what else must young people do? They must study. Now, I know young people study in school. And they study hard. But I'm talking about a different kind of a study. And that is a study of God's Word. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That was written to a young man. And it's applicable to everyone who reads it. Absolutely. We have a responsibility to study. We don't sit back and let someone study for us. We study and we dig and we learn things about God and about God's Word. And then we can impart that to others, of course. Also, we must live by the same code of conduct as all Christians live. Young people are not exempt. They must live by the same moral laws of moral conduct as an adult. Notice with me, if you will, 1 Timothy 5:22, do not lay hands hastily on anyone, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. What does that mean? Keep pure. Pure. Timothy was told again, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, with all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We have a responsibility before God to practice that which is right in His sight and to have good morals. Also, we must have good manners. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. Peter says here, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, courteous, not returning evil for evil, contrariwise blessing, knowing that you were called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing. Now, what do we mean by manners? We are not in a position to return evil for evil. That's not our place. Good manners says, well, okay, that's the way it is. I'm not going to turn around and do something to you, and so that's the way it is. Well, that's not the way most people react, is it? No. Good manners is trying to do everything, and I think there's another passage that deals with this, whenever Paul said over there in Romans, as much as lies within you, that you live peaceably with all men. That's what that is. That's good manners. We can be the kind of people we would be if we practice good manners. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, tender-hearted and courteous, not returning evil for evil, but on the contrary, blessing. That's the idea. Good manners. And also, good works. Galatians 6 and 10, therefore which we have opportunity, let's do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Young people can do good works too. Yeah, young people can do good works too. Visiting the orphans and widows in their affliction. As you have opportunity, doing good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Not exempt. You're not exempt. Finally, you have to learn that young people must reap what they sow. That was the essence of what the wise man said in our opening remarks. Go ahead. Have fun. Do all this good stuff in life. But remember, you're going to give judgment for it. You're going to get judged for it. You're going to have to answer in judgment. Too many young people fail to realize that when they sow wild oats, they're going to reap a sad harvest. They sow to the wind and reap the whirlwind. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Over and over again in the scriptures, we're given admonition concerning sowing and reaping. You sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. Bad decisions leave us with lifetime consequences. You know, if bad decisions made by young people were just for the time that they're young and they went away, it wouldn't be as bad. You know, not so many consequences. But there are bad decisions that young people make that can mean a life of misery. One of them is with regard to marriage, for instance. It could mean, whenever you boil it right down, you have to live celibate the rest of your life or go on sinning in an unscriptural marriage. Whoever divorces his wife for any reason other than sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who's divorced commits adultery. Simple as that. Too many people marrying at will and they divorce whenever they get tired of it. Young people need to repent and confess sins. Acts 8 and 22, notice, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Specifically of this wickedness. That's what he told Simon, who had formerly been a sorcerer, to do on this occasion. And we know from 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No doubt. Young people, enjoy your youth while you have time and opportunity. That's good. You should. But remember, your works will be brought into judgment in the last day.